This morning's scripture readings will be from Hebrews 13, 5 through 8, and Galatians 5, 16 through 26. There it is. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And now from Galatians. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
So in talking with people this morning, I guess maybe my sermon title, the Bible class that we had in the auditorium, Cliff Song service, and communion, I really don't need to speak because everything that I wanted to say has been said. No. The lesson that I want to share with you today is really kind of self-centered, I guess. This past year, my prayer life has been focused on, for the congregation, it's been focused on us being involved in the community more, having more contact with people. I've encouraged you to do the same thing. And we've seen return on that. We had an alderman come and do a town hall meeting using our fellowship hall for that. He said, "I plan on coming back and doing that again." We've had the Red Cross reach out to us and say, "We need more emergency shelters. Would you be willing to consider having your building used as an emergency shelter?" We discussed it. They came, they measured the fellowship hall, and they said, "It's perfect for a small shelter. We need them maybe four times a year in all of Wisconsin." We're on a list now. In the middle of the night sometime, Ken or I might get a phone call to come down and open up the building. We've had other groups come and say, "Do you have room for us to worship?" We have the Girl Scouts coming in once a month using the building. We've been active and trying to reach out. That's the prayer that we've had, that I've had. I really want this body. We come from all over the place. So many of us travel so far to get to this building. And it's hard for us to invite people to travel 20, 30, 45 an hour to get here. And so for us, as a family, to reach out to the neighborhood around the building is vital. Because I can go out and hand out flyers for Trunk or Treat or for Vacation Bible School. And I know I can go over into the neighborhood here on the other side of Copernicus Park. Or I can go down 20th Street. And as I hand out flyers and I talk with people, I can meet people that have lived in their houses for 20 years or more. And they'll look at me and say, "That's a pretty new church, isn't it?" And I do laugh. I mean, it's funny to hear that, to know that, I mean, you can look at the pictures of when the building here was constructed, and you can see around this building that there really isn't anything else there. One of the first buildings on this corner is this church. And yet people who, 20 years, I've had people that have lived here longer than that say that to me too. And so that was really when it hit me that we needed to start praying about being connected with this community, because if they can drive by and see our sign but not realize that we're here, folks, we're missing something. Our giveaway this year was great. It was the first time that I've been able to, this is sad, kind of, it's the first time I was able to be here when the giveaway started. And I was here to set up the sign for Trunk or Treat so that it was out. I got here, you know, like 6:45, I think it was, and I figured nobody is going to be here before me. There were two vehicles in the parking lot already. Put the sign up, went, parked the van, came in, did a few things in here, and immediately went out and just started talking with people that were in line. Started talking with people that were waiting to come in for the giveaway. And I expected to hear most of the people saying, "Yeah, I'm from the north side. I came from here. I came from there. It took me 3 buses to get here." I was amazed at how many people I talked with were from the neighborhoods directly around the building. As we're doing events like this, as we're doing the giveaway, as we're doing Trunk or Treat, Vacation Bible Schools, when we brought in a speaker and we did a lesson on money management, on finances, and we offered that to the community at large. When we do things like that and we see a visitor, we see someone come in that we don't recognize, I'm not the best at this. As amazing as this may sound, I really tend to be an introvert, and large groups of people aren't easy for me to deal with. And interacting with someone new, I love meeting new people, but that first interaction is not always easy for me. So this is to me as much as everybody else, but when we have those events and we know that there are people here that don't know us, that don't know what we believe, that don't know who we are, we have to reach out to them. We have to introduce ourselves. We have to get their names down. And we have to make them feel welcome. Now, we do a pretty good job of that. But I want everybody to be trying to do that. All of us need to be trying to do that, because we want to be a family. And yeah, families, I know that my kids, Michael and William, will do some things together. Abby and William will do some things together. There's very few things that they all three enjoy doing as a group. We want to try and avoid those cliques forming, those groups of, okay, these are the people that do this, these are the people that do that. It shouldn't matter to us who comes. We should be inviting everybody. And that's what I want. The more that we all are connected with each other, I've said this since I started, the more that we all are connected with each other, the more we become like a family, the more we can bless other people and the more God is going to bless us as well. Now, so I've been praying for that community outreach, that community connection. We've seen that, I've seen, that there are also people who definitely know who we are. There's an organization in Milwaukee called the Street Angels. They work with homeless, primarily on the south side of Milwaukee, our area. And for 5 years-ish, they've been coming to our giveaway. And they've been getting clothing for the homeless that they have then used to clothe people, to give them warm jackets throughout the winter. Didn't even know it. I don't know if Denise knew or not, but we have that connection already. In Cudahy and St. Francis, we have a food pantry, and they also come and get clothing from our giveaway. They get, when we have dishes and things like that, they'll take that too to put in the food pantry so that they have it to give to people throughout the year. There's just two groups. I'm assuming that there are at least three or four more probably that come through just from the giveaway where we're affecting more people than just that. Now, what I want to say is that it's great that we're having this influence. We're having this effect on people, and that's a very good thing. This year's going to change a little bit in my focus on what I'm praying for you. So if you see things changing in your lives, you can blame me, you can thank me, however you want to look at it. But we're starting to have more people from the community recognize us. We're starting to have more people make connections. But I guess the most recent one, there was a really bad three-car accident right here on 20th and Grange. Two of the people in the accident were like, I can't believe it. This seems like such a quiet intersection. And I said, you'd be surprised how many accidents we have every month. But it was one of the colder days that we've had, and I was sitting in my office, heard the tires, heard the impact, went and opened the front door of the building, made sure people were okay, and said, come inside where it's warm. Make your phone calls from in here. We know that the police, nobody was really hurt, so we knew that there wasn't going to be anybody here for at least 20 minutes, and that's about how long it was. But a couple of the people came in and made their phone calls, got a hold of the insurance companies, and sat and talked with me from South Milwaukee. But things like that, where we can just offer hospitality, offer this building to people, offer ourselves to people, those are going to continue to draw them in. We did the financial seminar. And our small group on Friday nights has been going through this. We purchased materials for a boot camp, which was a follow-up to the financial seminar that we did. And on Friday nights, we've been going through and, yes, making some fun of Steve's shirts. Definitely does happen. They're very loud. They speak louder than he does most of the time. But that's been an opportunity for us to reinforce some of the things that were said in the seminar, to talk about, on a little bit more personal level, some of the challenges that we're having with our own finances and some of the ways that we're addressing those. And also, those of you that were here for the seminar, taking some of the things that Steve says and trying to figure out how to apply them to someone who might not have the standard of living, the income level that Steve is coming from, and trying to say, okay, he says this, but how can we apply this? How can we make this work for us? Because, you know, one of the things that we come up with is, you know, drop Starbucks, drop this. And, well, we don't do Starbucks already. We already don't have cable. What are some, and the more we talked, the more we realized we all have our Starbucks. We all have something that we don't have to do. One of the guys, it was, he'd stop in and when he'd get gas, he'd go in and get an energy drink or two. Well, when you do that, that's way more expensive than if you buy them in bulk. And so he was like, you know, I can still have energy drinks. I just don't have to buy them there. That was his Starbucks. And when you start looking at it, we started seeing different ways that we could save, maybe not a lot, but a little bit. So, again, there it was an opportunity. It's been an opportunity for us to get to know Jeremy, the circus son. He's been coming to the classes, and it's been a real good opportunity for Scott and Christine and Allison and I to get to know him some. There's all kinds of things that we do that open the building up and open us up to people. We just have to keep doing it. Finances. Our last family meeting was pretty much entirely about the financial health of the body here. You can talk with Jeff about this later. I think he'll agree with most of what I'm going to say. I am concerned about this. I am concerned with our giving. I'm concerned with the funds that we have to use. And I agree with Brad that one of the best ways to combat the shortfalls that we have is by making sure that we have more people in attendance. But this is where my prayer for this year is going to be coming in. Because having worked as a missionary for 10 years, having lived on support where hearing horror stories before I went on the mission field from people who had been on the field and lost support, when you're living on support, it's completely trust. You trust God that that money is going to be in your bank account every month. And for us, it was everything. Our vehicle, there wasn't anything. We weren't working. So anything that we did for that ministry came from that support. Scary. But you know what? Awesome. I didn't have to worry about what the Albanians were going to put in the collection. I didn't have to worry about what short-term missionaries were going to give to us because I knew that the finances were there. All I had to worry about was how people were growing. And that's where my prayer life is going to be focusing for us this year. Now, the finances, they'll take care of themselves. I don't have to be here. Jeff doesn't have to be here for this body, for this family, to serve this community. What has to be here is all of us. And so when it comes to finances, I'm doing my absolute level best to live like I lived in Albania and say, I know that it's going to be there. God's going to provide it. And I'm going to be concerned more this year about each and every one of you, my family and myself, and how we are growing spiritually Now, I mean, obviously, I mean, I pray for numerical increase for us on a regular basis. I pray for spiritual growth, too. So, big deal, Kevin. You're going to pray for spiritual growth more this year. Okay, that's great. It's a little bit more than that. The two scriptures that I had read, I was going to cut out part of the Galatians, but I was like, yeah, you can't really chop out the middle and still make the same statement, I guess. So my prayer really is focusing more, I mean, yes, growth. I want to see us grow. But I want to see us hungry for that growth. I want to see us, I want to see people come in on a Sunday morning eager to be here. Not just because Miss Dorothy puts out amazing things with the coffee. Not just to have that chance to fellowship and talk about how the Brewers are doing or how the Packers are doing or how amazing Giannis is. But I want you to come in excited, and I want to hear conversations about what you've been reading throughout the week in Scripture. I want to hear conversations about your prayer life where you're seeing things happen. That's the hunger that I want. That's what I'm going to be asking for. I'm going to be asking for you guys to have relationships that you may not have right now. I'm going to be asking for you to have trust in the people that you're sitting next to, worshiping with right now. To share things that you might not think today that you would share. I'm going to be asking for you to be able to share those things by this time next year. I'm going to ask for that to be on your hearts every day. So when I said you can blame me or thank me, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about accountability spiritually to each other. Now, accountability, when I started at Southside, we were still doing a group that met to help and train new leaders. We were studying from a book called They Smell Like Sheep. Got together about once a month, watched a video, had some discussion. And the main thrust of that, the main idea is discipleship. Whoa, that came from somewhere. How many of you feel like you're good at discipleship? How many of you feel like you're good at training somebody to do what it is that you do for this body? Yeah, I'm not putting my hand up either. That's another part of the prayer that I'm going to have for you. My prayer is that you are going to be finding other people that you can encourage to do some of the things that you do here or in the community, that you can teach them those things, that you can show them how they can be a part of it, that you can include them in what you do. But more importantly than that, I'm also going to be praying that other people are seeking you out. That they are saying, hey, this is something that I do. I think you'd be good at it. This is something that you can do. And that they start discipling you as well. Now, that's not going to happen without that trust. That's why I really want to hear, I want to see conversations that are so far beyond the weather, the news, what's going on in the world, but start to center on our scripture reading, our prayer lives. Now, when we pray for outreach to the community, when we pray to have an influence, it's easy to see that one. It's easy for me to stand here and tell you the things that I told you as far as different things that have happened this year that have brought the community to us. How do we see the spiritual side of this? How do we see if the prayers that I'm praying, and I hope the prayers that you're going to be praying, how do we see the results of those? Well, Galatians shows us a lot of it. So, in Galatians 5, so, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I did this with the kids in children's worship. We went through all the fruit of the Spirit. You can see some of them on the tree in the hallway. Notice, and this is important. This is important. It says the fruit of the Spirit, singular. And then it gives you that big, long list. These are not individual things. Don't think that these are, okay, I'm going to be good at peace. I'm going to be good at faithfulness. I'm going to be good at gentleness. All these things are bundled together. So if we're growing spiritually, if we're letting the Spirit work within us, and we're letting it produce this fruit, we're going to see all of these things growing, all of these things being cultivated within us. That's how we're going to see it. I know for myself, there will be marked changes that maybe people that see me here won't see. But there are changes that my family will see if I'm actually doing this, if I'm actually struggling in my life, in my spirituality. They're going to see changes. As a group, we're going to see changes too. We're going to be more likely to go out of our way to help someone else. For some of us, that might sound really scary because we're very likely already to go out of our ways to help someone, but we're going to grow in that. We're going to grow in our ability to hear something that we don't necessarily agree with, but that really doesn't matter that much, and just kind of say, you know, this isn't the time for that battle. We're going to be better at interacting with those new people that are visiting us. Those are just simple ways, some of the small ones that we're going to see if we're letting the Spirit grow in us, if we're pursuing that spirituality in our lives. So, maybe I put these backwards. Maybe last year I should have been praying for our spiritual growth before I prayed for more community contact. But I think I'm actually really happy with where we are and how this is happening. Because we've got the community growth. We've got the outreach growth that's starting to happen. There's some other things. Jeff is doing his grief groups for people who have lost loved ones to addiction, to primarily to opioids. But we've got some other things that Jeff is talking about trying to start that will hopefully involve more of us. They'll definitely be designed to involve more of us. So there's another community outreach, because pretty much everyone who's come through the doors for his grief groups, I think I can say everyone that's come through the doors, has been new to us. So now we've got the community, but we have to be more involved, more connected. And that's where the prayers come in. We need to be more connected with the Word. Our prayer life isn't going to grow, in my opinion, if our scripture study isn't growing. How many of you started, I saw a really great joke the other day, but how many of you started a reading plan last January, this January, 2019, you started a Bible reading program and you're going to read the Bible in a year. Maybe you're going to read the Gospels four times during the year and read the entire Bible once through. Anybody start one of those? Anybody leave it off in like February? The joke was that since you left off in February, here's starting on December 26th. Since you left your reading off in February, you have to read Leviticus, and it gave the chapters that you'd have to read to get through the whole Bible from December 26th to the 31st of December. It's funny. Most of us can relate to starting and not completing a scripture reading plan for the year. Another part of my prayer is that we're going to be in the Word more. That we're going to be reading it. We're going to be asking each other questions. Jeff and I are around quite often. We're not very hard to get a hold of. There's other very wise people in this congregation that may even know more about Scripture than we do. Talk about stuff. You come up with something, you're reading, and you're like, okay, where does that go? Don't just table it. Don't just go to Google and try and find something online. I'm not going to say don't go to the library. We've got concordances. We've got Bible study tools. Go there. Use those. But go to your brothers and sisters, too. Talk to them, because you know what? If you've got a question about something and you go to somebody that you think is strong in their faith and you ask them about something because you've been reading and you're stumped on something, there's a good chance that the person that you go to is going to go, I need to get, maybe not out loud, but I need to get in the Word more myself. I need to be challenging myself to read more or to read. We look at each other on a Sunday morning and we don't know what the week has been like. We don't know what any one of us has put into our spiritual life. And so that encouragement of having someone come to you can really spur somebody to do more in their own lives. So, scripture reading, prayer life, mentoring. We're going to be starting another class for leadership. We've been talking about it for a while, and Lord willing, it will actually start in 2020. I want you to pray for that. I want you to wants you to be committed to this body this coming year. The whole idea, and it's funny because I thought this, and I've heard it so often in my life, new year, new you. And I told Allison, you know, my title for the lesson, and she's like, I don't get it. I've never heard that before in my life. Hopefully some of you have heard that before. Because the idea of Jesus, he doesn't change. And so if we want to be like him, he's not going to get more like us. And so if we want to be more like him, if we want to not have to do what Jenna and Jacob did a couple of weeks back in children's worship, we were doing a lesson on having our wills aligned with God. And I took kids from children's worship and I had them write the word cat on the board with a on the whiteboard with a marker. The kids were both trying to write cat. They did a pretty good job. I brought Jenna and Jacob up and I said, okay, you're going to write dog, you're going to write cat. You know, they really, it didn't look like really much of anything other than a brother and sister who really didn't want to give in to each other. But the whole point of that is that when our will isn't aligned with God's will, when we aren't trying to do what he desires, he's trying to write cat and we're trying to write dog. Well, he's going to win eventually. He's going to write cat, whether we want him to or not. The only question is, how much are we going to mess it up along the way by fighting against his will? So, where does that go in my lesson? Well, that goes to us needing to be more like Jesus in this coming year. So as we go into 2020, my prayer is going to be for us to grow spiritually. My prayer is going to be that I can live like I lived in Albania, not worrying about the finances of the church, but worrying about the spiritual well-being of the body here. My prayer is that those of you who are running ministries will come to me more often and ask for help. Will ask, how can I better mentor someone? Who can I mentor? My prayer is that as we do this, we see that the community outreach that we've done and the connections that we've made will benefit from our spiritual growth. That we will be even more effective. That we'll be even more able to reach out and see the places that we need to be reaching. So, as we go into 2020, it's our spiritual growth. Leaving 2019, we're leaving a lot of physical. I'm leaving a lot of physical things behind. And I'm really trying to, I'll continue to pray for our community connection and our connectivity to each other. But as we leave this, I'm really trying to step away from it. And just, it's been a really good year. There's been a lot of hard stuff. We've had a lot of hurts. But as we go into 2020, I want our prayer to be for that spiritual growth. And I know that God is going to bless that. So I want to close with a prayer, but I want to thank each and every one of you because I know that it's not my prayers that are causing these changes. It is us as a collective body having a desire to see this family not be relevant. I don't care about relevancy. We want to see this body do the will of our Lord. We want to see this body serve and lift people up out of sin. That prayer, that desire from all of us is what is driving this body forward. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are grateful for this year that you have blessed us with. I am grateful, Father, to be able to serve here and to know this family. Lord God, as we enter into 2020, I pray for spiritual growth for this body. Lord, I ask that we would be diligent in our study of your word. I ask that you would prompt us to be active in prayer. God, I ask for conversations in the hallways of this building that are filled with you, that are filled with love of you, that are filled with an awe of what you have done in our lives. God, I pray for our hearts to be open to each other. I pray for those of us who put up barriers to feel comfort and safety in taking those barriers down with our brothers and sisters, God. Help us to be loving and gentle with each other, Father. Lord, as we go into this year, I pray that we will have spiritual growth that sets us apart from the people that surround us in the world. I pray for us to have so many times that people look at us and say, "What makes them different?" So many opportunities for us to share God's love, your love, not just for your called out, but for the whole world, God. Opportunities for us to share with people just how much you hurt when you see them hurting in sin and lost. Father God, I pray for this body. I pray for Southside to grow. Yes, Father, I want to see more brothers and sisters with us. But God, more than anything else, in this coming year, I pray that each and every member here has a deeper and a more valuable connection to you than they have right now, God. I thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters here. And I just ask you, God, to hear this prayer, to answer this prayer, and to do it with all of your power. Father, we love you. We are grateful for you. And we offer this prayer up to you as a family in Jesus' name. Amen. If there is anything that we as a body can do for you, if you need prayers, please let us know. We are here and we love you.
Let's stand, since it seems to be the normal procedure.